Thank you, Mary. Fellow Rotarians, good afternoon. I'm delighted today that we have Claire Spencer, who's the CEO of Arts Centre Melbourne, just down here to my right and your left, and whoever. She came down from Sydney three and a half years ago. She used to be at the Sydney Opera House, where she was a COO. She started her life as a chartered accountant like me, but she chose the right way. She's been in performing arts all her life, and what a fantastic career she's had. So we're very proud to have Claire here. There's a lot going on in the arts at the moment, and I'm sure that amongst us all here at this group, there are a lot of you who enjoy going to the arts in one form or another, and I'm sure a lot of you go to the Arts Centre Melbourne. So Claire lives in St Kilda West, which is one of my favourite suburbs, three married, three children, very busy lady. So Claire, thank you very much for coming. Come on up.
Thank you. So we're gathered today on the ancestral lands of the Kulin Nation, and I would like to acknowledge them of the traditional owners. I pay my respects to elders past and present and to the elders of other Indigenous communities in Australia. I'm very pleased to be able to talk to you today. Rotary has been a stalwart supporter of the community, particularly in areas of social justice. And when Peter Payne made the approach, I didn't need to think twice, although it did take us a while to get diaries lined up. So thank you for your patience, Peter. It was clear to me that between Arts Centre Melbourne and Rotary, there is considerable commonality of purpose about why we exist and around how our individual organisations seek to connect with the communities that we serve and their needs. As a leader, not only in the performing arts, but in the wider Victorian community, Arts Centre Melbourne goes beyond merely putting performances into our spaces. Art matters, and not just for entertainment, although entertainment is good. Our social conscience connects us with Indigenous communities and disadvantaged young people, and we are strong supporters of major community campaigns such as Marriage Equality and the Campaign Against Domestic Violence. We're proud that our Asia Pacific Triennial of Performing Arts, the Asia Topa Festival, has opened doors around cultural diplomacy through its connections to our near neighbours. And like Rotary, we support and encourage traineeships through our status as a registered training organisation. So a little bit about Arts Centre Melbourne. We're not the National Gallery of Victoria. We're often confused. My good friend and very capable colleague, Tony Elwood, runs the National Gallery. We're in the performing arts space. So we run five theatres. We have the Theatres Building, which is comprised of the State Theatre, the Playhouse and the Fairfax Studio, Hamer Hall, and the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl, which was gifted to Arts Centre Melbourne by the City of Melbourne in 1980 after the extraordinary gift of Sydney Meyer to the city earlier that century. And we also hold two important state collections, a visual art collection and the performing arts collection. We're also partner and home to a flagship group of performing arts companies we call our resident companies, the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, Melbourne Theatre Company, Opera Australia, and the Australian Ballet, who join a range of other regular presenting companies that bring our stages and our remarkable spaces to life. In 2016-17, we attracted over 3 million people, which is the same as the MCG. However, following a particularly successful summer season, last month we've already exceeded this full year number with 3.5 million visitors, and there are still 4 months to go in the year. Engagement is growing. We have a $90 million turnover, and 75% of that is self-generated. That's the highest of any cultural organisation in the state. And this self-generation comes through the generosity of the philanthropic community in Melbourne and our business partners, including our principal partner, Bank of Melbourne, and our innovation partner, PwC. We're the custodians of one of the country's largest performing arts collections. We have over 680,000 performing arts objects, ranging from material from the late 1800s through to contemporary performers. We like to laugh saying we have everything from Dame Nellie Melba's gowns through to Kylie Minogue's hot pants, and pretty much everything in between. We approach all of this with care, especially remembering that our venues are providing remarkable experiences for both locals and visitors alike. And this is fantastic and exciting, of course, it's show business, but managing a large number of competing demands, relationships, and an increasingly diverse audience can be complex to navigate on a daily basis, let alone to evolve and nurture. As well as the grand operas, ballets and symphonies of the Western tradition, with classic dramas and a broad range of programs for families and young people, our performance programs have reflected the cultures of new migrant communities or have tapped into the creative minds from the region. So what gets us out of bed in the morning? Art gets us out of bed in the morning, and we believe that art is critical to the vitality of Melbourne. We want to make Melbourne more creative and to unearth the inner creativity of all Melburnians, to create opportunities, to connect audiences with each other, with artists and artists with their audiences, and to enrich lives with everyone who comes through our doors. As a publicly funded cultural institution, we have a responsibility to remain relevant and contemporary for future generations. And it means being closely integrated with and responsive to the local community through a multifaceted offering that serves artistic, social, and leisure needs. Indeed, these are exciting times, and we are keen to play a critical role in Victoria's visitor economy, attracting knowledge-based workers to live in this, our most livable of cities, providing a platform for the cultural sector to collaborate and perform, and importantly, attracting a large and diverse audience through our affordable, accessible, and inclusive shows, programs, and other activities. We truly believe that the arts can make a difference, creatively, but also socially and economically, and that difference can be felt locally, nationally, and indeed internationally. The arts influence and shape our world. They inspire us as individuals. They help us build stronger, more cohesive and connected communities. And they bring us together for shared experiences that can be life-affirming, life-changing, and in some cases, life-saving. Arts Centre Melbourne was created through an Act of Parliament in 1979 with a singular, powerful remit to enrich the lives of all Victorians culturally, educationally, socially, and economically. And nearly 40 years after opening our doors, much of what makes Melbourne the world's most livable city is deeply linked to its rich ecosystem of cultural organisations, artists, producers, and makers who cultivate a prosperous creative environment. And as Australia's busiest performing arts centre, we believe we can play a role in shaping Melbourne's future prosperity. But critical to this is our capacity to respond to the changing needs of a growing city and its increasingly diverse population. And Melbourne is set to nearly double in size in our lifetime. We need to provide connectedness between cultural institutions across the South Bank Arts Precinct. We need to rejuvenate our infrastructure so we meet presenter and audience expectations. And we need to provide a safer environment for artists, visitors, and our team. We've talked a little bit about the South Bank Arts Precinct, and I just wanted to talk about that a little bit further. The National Gallery of Victoria and Arts Centre Melbourne are the founding institutions in the South Bank Arts Precinct. But that precinct has grown now to include the Victorian College of the Arts, the Melbourne Theatre Company and Melbourne Recital Centre, which turns 10 this year, the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art and the ABC, among 40 other cultural institutions. And that community is growing. Just a week or so ago, we welcomed the arrival of the Buxton Contemporary Gallery, an extraordinary gift to the city from the Buxton family, while our much-loved Orchestra of Victoria has just moved into new premises in the Carlton United building, recently purchased by the Victorian government for future strategic use in the precinct. Meanwhile, a new $105 million home for Melbourne Conservatorium of Music, part of the Melbourne University, is currently being built alongside the Melbourne Recital Centre. Such is the genius of urban planning in Melbourne, I think. There's no other city like this in Australia that has this sheer concentration of extraordinary cultural infrastructure. But you get a sense of that precinct not quite being finished. And therein lies our challenge, but also an extraordinary opportunity. So what is the future of the precinct and its connections to the community? How can we increase the impact that the arts has? Just recently, the Victorian Planning Minister and the Creative Industry Minister jointly announced new planning controls for the South Bank Arts Precinct. Touted as an Australian first, these planning controls direct any future developments will have to include arts and cultural usage as part of the first four floors. Those uses are defined as studios, workshops, galleries, or performances and event spaces. Without question, the precinct has great bones, and we believe that these new steps will help preserve its qualities and its uniqueness. And we think that what we have here in Melbourne is the best in the country. I can say that because I used to be in Sydney. While our precinct has evolved over several decades and continues to do so, like all ongoing projects, it has some things that could be done better. Institutions aren't joined up. The precinct is difficult to navigate, divided currently by a six-lane road, and there is little activation of the public realm. There's a lack of cohesion and an emphasis on the individuality of the institutions rather than collaboration, and we believe that's a stumbling block. Really, there's no sense of precinct. And it's important to recognise that when Arts Centre Melbourne was built, South Bank didn't exist as the suburb we know it today. It was a jumble of car yards and factories. Now it's a thriving suburb, one of the most densely populated and fastest growing in the country. So Arts Centre Melbourne's role within that precinct is important. How can we further contribute and help the cultural precinct achieve increased impact as a great and creative community space and engage more deeply with that local community? And we believe that collaboration is key. Our future strategies for our place in the city take note that we are part of the broader community network where tourism, sport, and the arts precinct are able to contribute together to Victoria's vibrant city and also its creative economy. And as a result, more than ever, we are collaborating with others to connect with people and deliver a remarkable experience for all our visitors. And I wanted to give you a few little examples of that. I'm sure you all know a lot about Arts Centre Melbourne, but I wanted to tell you some things that perhaps you don't know, to demonstrate our commitment to collaboration and to demonstrate that we feel to increase the impact of the arts in this city, collaboration is the key. And our collaborations are with artists, they're with companies, they're with sister institutions, all levels of government, business partners, and the broader sector. And this is what's propelling us forward. This is what can define this amazing precinct that we're in. So the first example I want to give you is to do with programming. International impact, with a particular focus on work from Asia, which I know will interest you. Arts Centre Melbourne has had a history of programming material from the Asian region. However, the proportion of programming material did not accurately reflect the changing face of the Victorian community, and it didn't get the audience cut through that it deserved. So through the lens of art reflecting life, the Asia Pacific Triennial of Performing Arts, otherwise known as Asia Topa, was born. The festival, created with the significant philanthropic support of the Sydney Meyer Fund, brought together an unprecedented group of collaborators and partners in a unique consortium model to present Asian works across all disciplines of performing, literary, and visual arts. The consortium model was built around 40 organisations as consortium members or program partners, and it was a complex collaboration, but with a simplicity about it that ensured that outcomes were delivered. No egos were allowed at the table, and we led gently but determinedly, ensuring that we were at the very edge of possibility. So between January to April of last year, Asia Topa presented 280 events in 46 cultural venues and community gathering places. The total audience attendance was just under 900,000 people, for ticketed and free events. AsiaTopa has become one of the most prolific commissioners of new cultural product in the Asia Pacific region, and this says a lot about Melbourne and the creative community that we have here. New works receiving their premiere in Melbourne now have significant touring lives and are taking Brand Victoria around the world. This collaboration through AsiaTopa took art across global boundaries, and in doing so provided an innovative platform supporting government, cultural and economic diplomacy objectives. Each country-specific event provided an occasion to host aligned stakeholders, promoting formal and informal dialogue that strengthened cultural understanding and business links in our region. That's not always thought of about when people think about art, and we think that's one of the really important impacts that art can have. And our understanding is that there continue to be real and very tangible outcomes from business and government as a result of that festival. So now something completely different and bringing us back firmly into the state of Victoria. Last year, we delivered a new initiative which was called the Arts Wellbeing Collective, designed to better affect mental health and wellbeing for Victorian arts workers, of whom there are many. And it has just as much application, we believe, in other businesses. Our industry is made up of creative, dedicated, hardworking people, and the mental and physical well-being of our team is absolutely paramount. We know that people are our biggest opportunity and our greatest point of vulnerability, and we want our people to be happy, healthy, resilient, and supported. Whilst many employers tackle the physical symptoms of illness, mental health is something that is still not widely addressed. And the Arts Wellbeing Collective, led by Arts Centre Melbourne, has become a role model for a healthy workplace. It comprises a collective of more than 130 Victorian arts and cultural organisations, reaching, we think, somewhere between 4,000 to 4,500 arts workers. And our shared vision is to affect better mental health and wellbeing for performing arts workers. Member organisations include Precinct Partners, commercial theatre producers, which is a very important part of the sector, the small to medium sector and independent companies, as well as rural and regional arts venues. So the Arts Wellbeing Collective was also on the road down to Warrnambool last winter, which was a bit hairy. The project was supported by the Victorian Government, WorkSafe and VicHealth, as well as industry organisations such as Mariner Group and Live Performance Australia. We're also very fortunate to receive support from individual philanthropists, including the late Betty Amsden and Kendra Reid. Our initial targets and expectations were quickly surpassed, and feedback was overwhelmingly positive, with a desire for the program to continue and expand, and thinking about what role that program might have in the broader public realm. The Arts Wellbeing Collective has had interest from New South Wales, Queensland, Western Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and Canada for its content, but also the model of collaboration that sits at its heart. The last example I want to give you is around contemporary music, and the Australian Music Vault is an exciting new music collaboration project which opened last December at Arts Centre Melbourne just before Christmas, and it's already attracted nearly 200,000 visitors. It's a celebration of Australian popular music, past, present and future, a place to be immersed in and to express our love of Australian music. It's been wonderful watching people go through the vault and to see the impact that this is having on people as they remember various interactions that they've had in musical venues over their lives. And there's a piece in there that has a very realistic reimagining of the Sunbury Music Festival. And we've had some very interesting stories coming out of people as they've come out of that. It's been a wonderful I think trip down memory lane, but also a reminder to people how important music is as the soundtrack to our lives. So central to the vault is a free exhibition. It's very important that it's free, and it tells the stories of musicians, industry luminaries, and fans that make the music possible. The exhibition is built around iconic objects from our Australian Performing Arts Collection and unique digital content comprising immersive digital experiences, visitor interactions, and specially commissioned interviews with the movers and shakers of the music world. Created in collaboration with the music industry and funded by the Victorian Government, the Australian Music Vault is supported by our founding patrons, Kylie Minogue, Archie Roach, Ian Molly Meldrum, Tina Arena, and Michael Gadinsky. Importantly, the Vault has enabled many new collaborations to develop, further linking us to the sector, reinforcing our connection to schools, and providing a conduit to the next generation of Kylies, Mollies, and Archies. So where are we headed? It remains clear that thriving creative industries and a vibrant art scene are critical to Melbourne's prosperity and its well-being as it seeks to harness the full capabilities of both the creative and visitor economies. To ensure we can meaningfully contribute to achieving this, our leadership role in the sector and the South Bank Arts Precinct, together with our facilities and infrastructure, need to constantly change to meet the shifting expectations of audiences, presenters, artists, residents, and visitors to Melbourne. The 2012 Hamer Hall redevelopment, designed to give the then 30-year-old concert hall a new lease on life, with improvements for artists and audiences, and adjustments to allow the building to keep pace with the changing face of the contemporary community and city life, is a perfect example of what needs to happen. And it's really set the bar for the future. We've undertaken significant planning and preparation to ensure that the whole organisation is well positioned for the future. This has included the development of a detailed business case and master plan to reimagine Arts Centre Melbourne and its precinct surrounds and links to the NGV and to South Bank. Through this approach, the future of the performing arts, the future of this city, this state, is unquestionably on firm ground. So thank you for the support that you give to the arts as advocates, as audiences, and as donors, and for allowing me to speak to you today. Yes, the arts can make a difference, and without question, I hope that we will all agree that it's a vital part of our lives. Thank you.